This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, July 28th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. It looks like Google employees will be struggling with the mute button for another year. Executives at Google have decided to play it safe and keep offices shut until at least next summer. On today's show, we break down how Google's decision compares with other tech companies and what remote work could mean for Silicon Valley in the long term. Our reporter Rob Copeland will join us to explain after these headlines. The Trump administration is moving forward with plans to regulate content on social media. On Monday, the Commerce Department formally asked federal regulators to revisit Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. That's the provision that's given online companies broad immunity from the legal ramifications of users' actions, as well as giving them license to police the content on their sites. President Trump and others have complained that tech companies use Section 230 to unfairly censor conservative viewpoints online. Social media companies have denied that claim. Police departments are facing legal challenges for so-called geofencing warrants. They've been monitoring people en masse using location data from Google. Our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti has more.
So a geofence warrant is a particular type of search warrant used by police where they can essentially go to a tech company and rather than focusing on a specific individual or a suspect in their case, they can look at a scene of a crime and go to a company like, say, Google and say, we would like to see all of the devices that pass within a 100 or 200 meter radius of that crime over a 1 hour or 2 hour and so on period of time. So we're currently seeing the first two legal challenges against this practice. Criminal defendants in both San Francisco and Virginia, they're both saying that essentially police use of this warrant, their attempts to go to Google and ask for this device information violated their Fourth Amendment rights against unreasonable searches and seizures. They're essentially equating this type of warrant to a general warrant, which would give law enforcement a blank check to go around and make stops or searches of anyone they come across.
Google is the only company that publicly discloses fulfilling geofencing warrants. It's not clear whether other companies hand over this kind of data, or if they would, if asked. But Dave says the practice has raised a debate over whether geofencing ought to be used at all.
For law enforcement, the benefit is pretty clear. You know, they have a bird's eye view, almost literally, of potential crime scenes, and they can really zero in on persons of interest or suspects using data that they never had access to before. On the flip side of that, you know, as privacy advocates will tell you, this is really sort of the dark side of the surveillance economy. You know, if you have these tech giants such as Google that are tracking their users in a very granular way, law enforcement will inevitably tap into that. And the potential for misuse of that information could be dire in certain circumstances.
And kids have been social distancing, but some are dealing with it differently than others. Our columnist Julie Jargon says girls have been struggling more than boys have.
There was an organization that conducted a nationwide study, broadly, of teenage girls. And what they found is that basically 78% of girls in the 10 to 14 age group have said that they feel more lonely since the pandemic started. They feel more lonely because they are more isolated from their friends, but it can be exacerbated by social media usage, especially for those who are in families that aren't allowing them to get together with their friends and have sleepovers and go on summer trips. So for those girls who, you know, are on social media or are communicating with their friends through group text or FaceTime, they're hearing about some of the friends of theirs who are in families that are being more permissive about getting together, and that's contributing to the feelings of them being lonely. You know, as one expert told me, it's not just the fear of missing out, it's the actual missing out.
Parents aren't the only ones making tough calls about when to let kids hang out again. Tech execs are also in the hot seat. After the break, we'll talk about Google's decision to delay its in-office return. That's next. To reopen or not to reopen? That is the question companies around the world have been debating, including in Silicon Valley. Tech executives are struggling to balance worker safety with the overwhelming desire to never be on a Zoom call ever again. This week, Google came out with one of the most cautious plans to date. The company notified employees that they won't be returning to the office until next summer. Our reporter Rob Copeland has more on Google's decision and what it means for the rest of the tech world. And he joins us now to explain it. Rob, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
So what's the latest on when Google employees are headed back into the office?
Okay, so up until yesterday, Google employees had been told that they could come back to the office as soon as the new year. This changed in a big way yesterday. We reported and then Google later confirmed that they were pushing back the work from home date from January to June 30th. That means that employees who thought that they might be back in the office in January are actually not going to be back until July at the earliest.
Yeah, let's talk about the reasoning behind this decision from Google executives. Can you walk us through kind of their calculus here?
So Silicon Valley companies were some of the earlier corporations to have employees work from home. Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, they all ordered their employees home in mid-March, a little bit ahead of even some of the big banks. But they've been slowly pushing back the return date. It was March, and then it was May and September. This is a big move because it adds 6 months. And not only that, it's really a full year from now. So the reasoning that I understand based on my reporting is twofold. One, Google CEO Sundar Pichai decided he has children of his own and that he thought that not allowing employees to plan for the school year would be difficult for them. He also recognized that Google employees and many other tech company employees are starting to move. They're moving away from locations where the offices are. And Google wanted to give their employees the opportunity to sign full year leases with the knowledge that they wouldn't have to move before the lease was up.
What's the opportunity cost of keeping workers home for longer? Is there a downside to this in terms of productivity or any other factors?
Absolutely, for sure. This is one of the bigger debates right now in American business is whether work from home is as good or even better than working from the office. Google hasn't said much on this specifically. As you would expect from them, most of their public announcements are pretty wishy-washy. You know, they say we're working through this together and everyone's trying as best as they can. There are other companies, though, and the Wall Street Journal has reported that are trying to get their employees back as soon as possible because it's just not as efficient to have people working from home.
Yeah. And so how does Google's decision compare to what other tech companies have said about getting back to the office?
This is a dramatic move. This is by far the furthest out date for return to the office. Microsoft, for instance, a Google competitor, has told employees in New York, for instance, that they could be back as soon as October. There is one other extreme, though. And that is Twitter and to a lesser extent, Facebook. These are companies which have told their employees that they expect them to be working from home indefinitely. And so they haven't set a date at all and don't expect to.
Yeah. And so you mentioned earlier that a lot of tech workers are taking this opportunity to move to places with cheaper rent. I think when we talk about tech, we often use the place. Silicon Valley is kind of a shorthand. So what kind of impact are these decisions having on the capital of technology as it is now?
This is huge. I live in San Francisco, and every weekend for the last 2 months, the streets have been filled with moving trucks, with people anecdotally leaving San Francisco. Rents in San Francisco are down record amounts, and this whole region is based on being the hub of tech. Google alone was supposed to build monster new headquarters in San Francisco and San Jose, to say nothing of, I believe, two full buildings they were supposed to take in New York. Now, if employees can move to cheaper places, that's obviously a huge pressure on the housing market, and not just houses, but every associated business in San Francisco and elsewhere.
And you know, zooming out a little bit here, what is the big picture of all of these decisions? Tech companies have, you know, generally said, like you mentioned, that it's going to be a while before they're back in the office. Does that tell us anything about what they're betting on the long term when it comes to the pandemic and the future of work?
Absolutely. Google in particular, the CEO Sundar Pichai, has actually been just personally interested in the pandemic even before it was headline news. I've spoken to people in his executive team who say that he was pulling up research reports on this in January when, you know, even the Wall Street Journal wasn't writing so much about it at the time. Now, Google, of course, will always say we consult with government officials, we consult with our own experts. These are pretty smart people. If they could get their employees back earlier, they would. So it does say something that they're no longer looking in months. They're looking in at least a year or longer.
All right. Our reporter, Rob Copeland, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. As always, we've got more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. So check us out there. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.